Thank you for your courage to step up and share your testimonies. They really are encouraging. So please do continue, like Charmian said, to keep an eye out for what the Lord is currently busy with. It really is a great, great encouragement to us. So last week, if you may remember, those who were here, we saw that our job as a church is not to dream up a vision for our own lives and then ask God to come alongside us and to bless the vision that we've come up with, but rather, in the words of Henry Blackaby, our job is actually to watch to see where God is working and then to join Him in His work. Watch to see where God is working and then join Him in His work. And so our first perspective that we saw last week as to what God is doing in Liberty is that He is raising up pristine churches. God is raising up pristine churches. What we mean by that is pure, clear, uncluttered, beauty in the simplicity type of churches. Pristine is not polished performance, but what we're hoping for is a church that is purely dependent on God. But pristine also doesn't mean static. It doesn't mean that we're inward focused. The Spirit who makes us holy is the same Spirit who flows within us and flows through us. And so last week I took a snippet out of Ezekiel 47, and what I would like today to do is to actually take a longer look at it. I believe that God in it is holding an essence for our second perspective for the year. And so the question as we look through this is, what do you see? What do you see? And so the second perspective that we will see and hopefully see is that He gives life through pristine churches. He gives life through pristine churches. And so for Ezekiel's audience, it would have been in Israel who was in exile. The original temple which was built had been destroyed. It's lying in ruins. They're in exile. They're longing for freedom. They're longing for restoration. And God in His absolute kindness gives a vision to Ezekiel for him to encourage Israel. And Ezekiel 47, this is what he shares. He says, "Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There was water flowing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced the east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer fence, that outer gate that faces towards the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, which is about 450 meters. And then he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Mortal, have you seen this?' Then he led me back along the bank of the river, and as I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down in the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. Once these waters reach there, it will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea, from En Gedi to En Glaim. It will be a place for the spreading of the nets. Its fish will be of a great many kind, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food, and their leaves for healing." And for Israel, the temple was the very heart of worship for them, the place where heaven came to meet with earth. The river Ezekiel saw flowing from its threshold, obviously in a vision, was not just plain water. It was God's own living and life-giving presence, inviting his people to an ever deeper relationship of obedience, of trust, and of fellowship. But for Israel, even their deepest devotion to God often felt very limited, like walking ankle deep in the promises of God, but never fully surrendering to the current. They were held back very often by idolatry, taking their eyes off of God, and never plunging into the depths with him. The river called, but they could never quite let go of the shallows. And so we read the measuring that the man gives: ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, swimming deep. But did you notice what the guide, the man, was actually doing? He wasn't just marking the distances. He was leading Ezekiel through the water, step by deepening step. The words that are used is that the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. Again he measured and led me through the water. And so God's ancient question to Israel and his question to us today is the same. How deep will you let me take you? How deep will you let me take you? When you consider your fellowship with God, what do you see, mortal? As you consider your nearness to God, what do you see? Are you ankle deep? You're in the water, but still in control. You're walking normally. You can step out at any time. This speaks of a spiritual interest and awareness, but not a dependence. And for Israel, this might be their initial call to obey the laws of God, kind of dipping their toes into the ways of God. Perhaps you feel like you're knee-deep, where the current begins to tug on you, and your movement begins to be affected. It's harder to turn quickly. The Spirit has influence in your life, but you're still upright. You're still choosing your path. Participation, but not surrender. This is the place where devotion deepens to prayer and sacrifice, yet self-reliance still lingers. Perhaps you feel you're waist deep. This is kind of where your balance begins to shift. The current could sweep you. You're vulnerable now. You're working with the water, not just rushing through it. There is a reliance. You know you need God, but your feet are still touching the bottom. There's a wading in the fellowship and a wading in the friendship, but you still walk where you want. What about swimming depth? Perhaps you're there where there's no ground. You either float or you drown. The river carries you completely. You're not walking anymore. You're borne along by the current of the river. This speaks about pure dependence, total immersion. And for Israel, this full surrender often felt elusive, only ever achieving glimpses of it, never fully sustaining it, always turning back to the idols in the shallow waters. What's noticeable here is that the shallow waters don't heal the Dead Sea. The shallow waters don't heal the Dead Sea. The ankle-deep river banks don't produce trees. The knee-deep current does not fill nets with fish. The waist-deep flow does not make the most barren places teem with life. But when the waters reach swimming depth and they flow out from the temple, Ezekiel says, trees line both banks, bearing fruit every month. Leaves that never wither. They bring healing. They're sustained. They're effortless. There's a seasonal nourishment. The Dead Sea, the most hopeless, salt-dead place, becomes fresh. Fishermen stand from En Gedi to En Gayim, which is basically saying from the west side to the east side, everywhere in between. The nets are spread out in the sun. The impossible now has become possible because of God's presence. Swamps and marshes remain salty. Speaks about not everyone yielding to the current. But the river has purpose. What Ezekiel's revealing to us is that everywhere that the river goes, there's life. And Ezekiel followed for four measures, 1,000 cubits each, about 2 kilometers in total, until he stood on the banks of the uncrossable river, surrounded by all this life. And the guard asks him, "Mortal, have you seen this?" And so my question is, what do you see God doing? What do you see God doing in your life at the moment? Because seeing it changes everything. What Ezekiel saw was life-giving water surging from the temple's threshold. A vision not frozen in the ancient scrolls, but a prophecy that Israel reenacted yearly at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Picture this. Imagine 600 years after Ezekiel writing this, Jesus standing in front of the rebuilt temple courts during the Feast of Tabernacles, tents sprawled across the city of Jerusalem, and for 7 exhilarating days of celebration and joy. Each day, a priest strode to the pool of Siloam with a golden pitcher or a jug in his hand, scooped up the cool waters, which was a symbol of renewal for them, and then he led a triumphant procession back through the water gate. Trumpets would blare, voices would sing, they would quote Psalm 113 to 118, and then as the priest ascended the altar for the sacred water offering, he would pour it forth alongside with some wine, and while the crowds declared Isaiah 12 verse 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And one of the core texts of Jewish oral tradition, which was written about 200 years after Jesus, says that anyone who has not seen the incomparable rejoicing at the water drawing has never known real joy. That moment was one where Israel would just burst in joy. It was an elated invocation. They were calling on God, imploring him to unleash Ezekiel 47's vision, that there would be healing of the barren, that there would be reviving of the Dead Sea, that he would make desolate places burst with life. And then in this whirlwind of worship, as all this chaos was on the go, on the last day, the seventh day, the great day, the climax of the ceremony, when it reached its highest point, Jesus stands up and he cries, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living waters." And now he said this about the Holy Spirit. In this moment, no longer from the temple will flow. Not someday God will restore. What Jesus is saying now, the believer's heart will flow. Your heart, my heart, those who've put their trust in him, their hearts will flow with living water. And he's standing there watching the priest pour the water at the altar, reenacting Ezekiel. And what Jesus says is that, "I am the fulfillment." He's saying, "I am the temple that Ezekiel saw. I am the source of this river of life and this living water. The source will spring up," he promises, "in the heart of anyone who believes in him and comes to him." And Paul saw this when he writes to the Corinthians and he says, "You are God's temple. The Spirit dwells in you." Then he writes to the Ephesians and he says, "The whole structure grows into a holy temple." And so when we look at the scripture, there is actually a dual invitation to us. The first invitation is the question, are you in the water? Are you in the water? Do you believe in Jesus? Has he given you of his Spirit? But then the second invitation and question to us is, how deep have you gone? How deep have you gone? How far have you followed him into the depths of fellowship and devotion, where this life extends beyond you and that life flows out of you to be a gift to others? The deeper the surrender, the greater the gospel impact. The more completely we are carried away in this current, the more rivers of living water pour out of us, making disciples, healing the broken, reviving the barren. And so within Liberty, the priesthood of all believers, which we talk about often, is not a decoration. It's not something we just talk about. But every household, every discipleship group, every saint in Liberty is a channel for the river of living water, for the Holy Spirit. The same Ezekiel river, now fulfilled in Christ and empowered by the Spirit, flows from the heart. Where? At work, at gym, at a braai, at the school gate, at dinner tables, at family devotions, at the beach, while cleaning your house. I know that may not sound right, but this living water can flow out of us. Rivers flowing from Christ into Philip, through him and out into the world. Christians, let him take you deeper. Let him take you deeper and watch what flows out of you when he does. It's not about your effort. It's about the depth of relationship and walking with the Lord. The personal depth and the outward life, there's a connection. It's unmistakable and it's repeated so that the hearer cannot miss that surrender and impact are two sides of the same movement of the Holy Spirit. Surrender and impact. For us as Liberty, God has shown us this image many years ago. Michelle Henderson, who many of you know, she wrote this and submitted it to the elders. As I prayed on Tuesday for Matt and Lindsay, the Lord gave me a picture of a beautiful dam, the surface of which was smooth and glass-like. It was full to the brim. I could see the dam wall, and on the other side there was a big drop to another rather empty river below. And a sluice gate was open, and water was pouring from the sluice gate into the empty river below. As I asked the Lord what this was all about, the only sense I got was that Liberty was the full dam, and that the water pouring out was the overflow. Maybe teachings, giftings being poured out into another pool or another fellowship. No further explanation came and no specific scripture. Then this morning, a word came as I lifted Matt and Lindsay into his presence again. Don't hesitate or move to the left or to the right. Stay firm on the path I have set before you. You will feed many people with my heavenly food and anoint those who have a calling upon their lives. Set boundaries. Produce the fruit that I have commanded. You know my voice. Listen. Come to me when you are in doubt. I will make your path clear. You will feed many nations, and I will supply your need. I have spoken, and I will do what I have said. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will do all you ask of me. Be still and know that I am God. A beautiful dam, smooth, glass-like, full to the brim, sluice gates open, water pouring into the empty river below. It was 5 years ago Michelle wrote that. Do you hear the echo of Ezekiel? Now fulfilled in Jesus through the Spirit. Temple waters flowing outward, bringing life wherever they go. For Liberty, a dam full, sluice gates open, water pouring out. Similar picture, very same Spirit. And it's not future tense, it's present tense. The dam is Liberty, it is full, it is pristine, it is glass-like, and the sluice gates are already open. What it looks like for us is serving other churches, people carrying what they've received here in Liberty. I think of AD and Nikki moving up to Joburg, releasing them with blessing. When someone leaves, they carry some of the deposit of the Holy Spirit that's happened within Liberty, and they take it and are a celebration wherever they go. I think of Try Praying, those simple little booklets, those little tools that Philip and Charmian are trying to get into our hands and get moving through us as a community to move people who are thirsty towards the spring of life. I think of Alpha, a space where fishermen along the Dead Sea shore can cast out their nets. Liberty Care, which is trees bearing fruit, leaves for healing being offered. We prayed of baby Amani this morning, who's going to her forever family this week. But the investment that Carl has poured into that baby is going to be a blessing out into the future. All the personal invitations that many people here have extended to friends. The simplest, most powerful gate of just come and join, come and be with, opening your homes, inviting someone to a gathering. Many of us are here because someone invited us. Someone loved us so much that they wanted us to find that river of living water as we were parched in the wilderness. I think of discipleship groups and equip groups that Matt spoke about. Opportunities for the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and to gush out into the lives of others. And so whether you call it mission or reaching the lost or disciple making or ministering or serving or evangelizing, there's a thousand other activities that we can busy ourselves with as a church. But all of them are terms for sharing the rivers of living water with others in the way that God has designed you and in the space that He has placed you. One church, different gifts operating in different spheres of life, but the same life-giving water to be shared with a parched and a thirsty world. These are disciple-making realities already happening within this church. The river is not waiting for us to become perfect. It's flowing because followers of Jesus in Liberty have heeded His call to go deeper with Him. He is perfecting His love in us, but He's using those who are willing to go deep in the water with Him. And the Spirit is moving through them, bringing life, bringing hope, not just to them, but this life is flowing out from them and impacting the world. John writes in Revelation, he also sees, and he writes this in Revelation 22, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. To the middle of the streets of the city, on either side of the river, is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." John sees the end. This river of life flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Trees on both sides, leaves for healing of the nations. Ezekiel's vision is Jesus' promise that we get to experience and be part of that river, this side of eternity. But one day, that perfect eternity, that perfect river, the perfect trees for the healing of nations will be in existence. But that's one day. We get to be part of that now as we go into the depths of the river with Jesus, as He draws us in by His Spirit. And so as we consider these things and as we have a moment for us, I want to ask that we would just set our minds for a second just on the Lord. Whatever stood out to you, whatever's kind of impacted you, just to set your minds toward the Lord. To move this from a teaching to a place of intimacy with the Lord. As you set your minds on Him, first question I want to ask you is, are you in the water? Do you believe in Jesus? Has He given you His Spirit? Have you stepped into the river of life? Have you stood looking at your life and found it to be parched and missing? And are you thirsting for reality? Are you thirsting for something truly satisfying? Jesus is bidding you come. He's calling you to drink and to be satisfied. He says, "Believe in me and you will be saved." For those of us who have stepped into the river, who've put our trust in Him, my question to you is, how deep have you gone? Is the Lord calling you deeper? How far have you followed Him into the depths of fellowship and devotion? where this life extends beyond you to impact the lives of others. This is not a future reality. It is answering the question, mortal, what do you see? What has God been saying to you? Where has He been leading you that you have refused to go? Surrender to Him. Ask Him to lead you. And follow Him. And watch to see where God is working. And join Him in that work.